If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Merkel Media.
The driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Schipper.
If you have a wild and crazy story you would like to share with us from the road, or you would just like to have a conversation with us, reach out to us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website at hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. We'd love to have a conversation with you. Ship, tell them about the voicemail.
Voicemail line, short stories, 5-10 minutes at the most. Leave your voicemail and we'll compile them and do a voicemail show. You have anything longer, contact the show, get yourself on the show, do an actual interview with them.
If you find yourself in need of emergency preparedness food, what can they do, Ship? Where do they go? Do you know?
To the bargain store.
Because I can tell them where to go.
I can too. You might not like it.
Go to preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. They have everything you're going to need. Food that will last you 25 years on the shelf. Coffee that will last you 30 years on the shelf. And everybody needs survival coffee as far as I'm concerned. Ship, what about buy me a coffee?
It's a virtual tip jar there. You know, keep Merkel there caffeinated with his coffee, the gallons that he drinks. You can just add click on that and give a virtual tip. We appreciate it. And have at it to keep us going, to keep more shows coming to you.
Fantastic. Keep more shows coming to you. And speaking of shows, let's get to the show right now. Today we're talking with Johnson and Jamie. Johnson, how are you guys doing?
Hey, Brian and
the other Brian.
Yep. We're doing good. You can call
my
him.
Other brother, Brian.
There you go. You can just call him Ship. That's what I call him all the time.
Yeah, we're doing good. Good. We're actually out here working, and we're down in El Paso right now. And I wanted to shut the truck off, and so we wouldn't have all that noise, maybe. Uh-huh. But it's
you need
this
the
little thing on my dash is saying 122 in the sun.
Wow! So. Yeah, you definitely need that running,
you need
man.
That air conditioning.
Holy
going.
Cow! Yeah, you just leave it run. That's
being
all good.
Being a chubby white guy from Michigan, if I turn that off, I'll probably melt. We won't be talking long.
So. I heard that. You're talking to two chubby white guys in PA.
I understand what you mean. I sweat at 20 degrees.
We feel
but no,
your pain.
We're doing good. Just out here trying to make a living on the road, you know.
Well, I hear it. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. You know, it's amazing because this is the life of a trucker. You know, this is what it is. This is how we live. And
my wife and I are we just started this about 6 months ago with a previous company. Before we were kind of home every weekend, but now we're running 5 weeks on, and then we go home for 1 week.
Oh wow.
And sometimes 10 days.
How long have you and your wife been, you know, a team together?
We're looking at almost 6 years now together. And I'm kicking almost 11 total for myself. So I've been out here for a while.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. How do you, this is going to sound like a really, you know, an odd question, but how do you like teaming with your wife? Does that work out really well for you guys? And I don't mean it in a sarcastic way. I'm just curious.
Yeah, actually I like it. I like it way better. I mean, obviously we get to spend more time together.
Sure.
Somewhat. I mean, you know, one's driving and one's sleeping for the most part. But you don't get the whole week apart. So we do get some time, a little more time together.
Uh-huh.
And it definitely helps with the parking situation. We were just discussing that the other night. We don't have to park a whole lot because, you know, we both drive, and every now and then the loads might not be there, and we do have to park. And
sure.
I don't know how single drivers do it anymore. I mean, it was 11 o'clock at night, and we looked for an hour just to try to find a parking spot, you know, for the right. night.
I'm sitting here watching Chip. He's over there. He's playing around with his microphone, unplugging it, tight and moving stuff. Like, I'm just like, my hands are up in the air. I'm like, what are you doing?
We're good. We're good.
He's back. Oh, my word. Yeah. You know, it is, you know, the parking situation is horrendous. I mean, it's got to be that way everywhere, you know, because I know it's that way up here in the Northeast. And I can imagine with as much traffic as you guys see out that way, it has got to be horrible down, you know, out there. And even down where you're at in El Paso, you know, it's got to be crazy.
Yeah, it's a little better, you know, more get out west. It's a little more open. You still got a little more mom and pops. You know, truck stops still open. You could pull into, mm-hmm. but we run automotive freight.
Okay,
basically from the border down here, El Paso area, Laredo, far McAllen area, all around the border in Texas, back to the Detroit, Michigan, Flint, Michigan area, and once you get east of about Oklahoma. After about 8 o'clock at night, you might as well, you know, might as well hang it up and just keep driving.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Cause I know up our way in the Northeast here, like the TAs and that, I pulled in one night, you know, just to get something to drink. And it was like, they had call ahead parking or something like that, you know, at the TAs. I'm like, what is this, DoorDash here? Or, you know, people got call ahead parking. I mean, really? But I guess it is a thing.
I'm seeing the writing on the wall. I'm pretty sure probably fairly soon, I think everything's going to be kind of pay parking. And like you said, the call ahead. And
yeah.
If you don't got it scheduled, you're not parking, you know.
Right. Wow. You're sitting on the side of a ramp somewhere.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And then you get that bang on the door at 3 a.m. The cop tells you you can't park on the ramp. Here's your ticket, too.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They like to hand those out. That's for sure.
Oh, they certainly do. Well, hey, you know, Johnson, let's start here. How did you get into trucking? What is the start for you as far as getting into trucking? Even, you know, like how did it work out for you? How did that come about?
Yeah, I didn't start. Like I said, I'm 43, I believe. It's hard to keep track these days. But
get out the abacus.
Yeah. I'll be 44 in September. I didn't start till my mid 30s. I tried doing a little factory work and stuff straight out of high school. I worked for one for about 3 years, and they closed down. And of course, being in Michigan, you know, it's all automotive stuff.
Sure,
right.
And yeah, I worked there for about 3 years. They closed down. I tried to do a little farming work, and that was too much work for me. That's real work,
yeah,
you know.
It is, I know. So, it wouldn't be me either.
You think truck driving is a tireless job? The farming's even worse.
Yeah, it's a different kind of It's a different kind of wear you out, sure. You know. But yeah, basically, just the factory work, the punching the clock 9 to 5 wasn't for me. I dreaded going to work, and I got laid off from a factory, and they paid me unemployment and gave me some money to kind of go back to school, and I decided that truck driving was going to be it for me. It was between that and welding, and just because of the money situation, that's where the money was. And sure. Welding again is physical hard labor, and that was something I knew I wasn't going to probably do for the next 30 years. So
right.
Truck driving was it, you know.
Yep, I hear that. It's not a bad way to get you know.
Yeah, it was. You know, they helped pay for the schooling. I went to school for actually 6 months.
Wow.
And my wife did the same. We went through Baker College. Mm-hmm. And when she started driving, I wanted her to have the same kind of training. I've seen a lot of these, you know, after being out for 5 years, I've seen a lot of these guys that come out after 2 or 3 week program. And I'm not saying you can't learn the basics in 2 or 3 weeks, but
that's all
you're not a truck driver after that.
You've learned how to pass the test. That's about it.
Yep.
Yeah, and it seems like that's what they teach, you know. Yep. And
it is.
There's way more to back in between cones once you get out here, you know.
Yes, there is.
Absolutely.
Yes, there is.
You can see that every night at any truck stop.
To a truck stop near you.
Yeah. But yeah, that's how I got started. I went with Werner. Once I got out of school, I did that for about 6 months, and that really wasn't for me as well. But I got a funny story. My first trainer after I went to Werner, I got, you know, assigned to him and to his truck, and everything was great the first couple days. I had a little experience. I kind of knew how to drive. I went to school for 6 months, doing some farm work. You know, running truck back and forth, things like that across. I hauled some sand they use for like bedding the cows. And so I was familiar with being in a truck. So it wasn't too much of a foreign thing for me. But I'm on his truck for about 2 days. I stop and, you know, he stopped. We go in and we're eating. And I told him, hey, I'm going to shower and, you know, I'll be back out. And I didn't think anything of it, but he didn't shower.
Uh-huh.
So we're driving for another day or two, and you know, do some loads, and I'm learning some things, and pull into a truck stop, and hey, let's, you know, we're gonna get something to eat and shower, and I go in and I come out, and still no shower. Now we're talking day 5.
Wow.
Yeah. I made it about another day or two, and I had to call dispatch and let him know. He got out of the truck to get fuel, and I'm like, hey, I've been with this guy for almost a week. I've showered 2 or 3 times. and he hasn't, and it's getting pretty ripe in here. I don't know what to do, you know.
Man, I guess.
Can I break the seal and ride in the trailer?
Yeah, and it's not like we didn't have time, you know. Right. I understand. So sometimes you're out here and freight's got to be delivered and this and that. It might not be every day, you know. Right. But I after 5 or 6 days, I had to go, and he took me back to Omaha. That was the main office there for Werner.
Right.
And I just told him, you know, like, I don't know if he's had any complaints on that before, how long he's been a trainer. I don't know his story, but
that's why
I'm out of here.
Solo.
Yeah. I don't blame you for being out. That's for sure. Wow.
Yeah. And thankfully my next, the next kind of trainer, I don't know, they call them trainers, but I don't know how long this guy had even been driving, really. I mean, he drove fine. I didn't have any issues with his driving, but he was kind of a foreign guy. The language barrier was kind of hard too. And
sure.
I don't believe he should have been a trainer either way, but he definitely should have showered.
Yeah. At least once in a 5-day period, right, would be good. You know, kind of split the difference.
Yeah.
2 days shower, 2 days. Okay, we're good. Okay, it doesn't have to be an everyday thing, but hey, let's just keep it clean. You know, we got to ride here together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. You're living in a, you know, little 8x8 box with right. someone. You gotta stay up on that stuff at least, you
yes,
know?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Well, not only that, I mean, you know, you not knowing this person from Adam, and your team driving with him, you know, when it's your turn to go into the bunk, I mean, you got to put a lot of trust in that guy's driving, you know. I mean, you're basically, are you getting a good sleep, or are you like sleeping with one eye open? I mean, you know,
honestly,
I don't know if I could do that.
It didn't even dawn on me until you just said it, dude.
You know,
that guy's getting out of the bunk. He hasn't showered in 5 days, and you're getting into the bunk. That, you know what? That's enough for me. I'm like, I'm out. I'm with you, Johnson. I'm with you, dude.
he took his, you know, there's two bunks, but you're not sleeping in the top bunk when someone's
right.
driving.
Right.
It's bad enough to sleep in the bottom bunk. But
right.
He takes his sleeping bag and stinky stuff off the bed, and you throw yours on it, right. you know. And,
yeah, but I mean, you know, just to have that trust that, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You know, it could be an accident at any given time, but I mean,
right.
I don't think I could get rest, you know, just knowing somebody else
is
that
private.
I just met,
yeah.
you know, 5 hours ago, and we're going across country.
Yeah.
My shift's to sleep, and I'm putting my life in this guy's hands, basically.
Yeah.
What I'm saying.
Like you said, Brian, you sleep with one eye open.
Right.
Even as a trainee, you know. Yeah. So, but yeah, I wish, honestly, you know, and you can't make these mega carriers do anything. They
right,
do what
right.
they want. But
yep.
There should be some kind of minimum, you know, minimum requirement in order to be a trainer, to be out training someone to be a truck driver, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I would say at least a few years. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard stories that some of these mega carriers, you got 6 month experience guys.
Yeah, you're a trainer.
Other yeah.
Yes. Which is, yeah. Where's the safety in that?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, on the same token, like he said, you know, this guy doesn't want to take a shower. Well, guess what? We're going to the Blue Beacon, and the truck's getting washed, and I'm going to have him stand on the hood.
Yeah. Give him a little kick out the door when you're rolling through there.
Yes,
you know?
Sir. Run through.
But thankfully, that only lasted for about 5 days. My next trainer was, he was a great guy. He was actually an owner-operator, and I still kind of stay in touch with him here or there.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
He was from Michigan as well. He literally lived like an hour away from me, even though we were out traveling across the country together.
Right.
He went home for a week. So did I during my training. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, great guy. Very knowledgeable.
You gotta gel between them. I mean, if you're like oil and vinegar there, or, you know, that
oil
could be
water.
Oil and water. That could be a miserable, miserable thing. You know.
Yeah, and I honestly think that deters a lot of new drivers, you know, from coming aboard. they talk about a driver shortage, mm-hmm. and you know, we need more drivers out here. And I think if that was a better experience for a lot of people, the just starting out,
right?
You know, it would help.
But, yeah, because let me, you know, let's go the other way. If your wife's going to do this and, you know, gets in a truck with, you know, driver like that, how long do you think she's going to be driving with that company before she's come pick me up?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Thankfully, my company was able, the company I was working for at the time when she got her license, was able to hire her right on. She had never had to go. She went from school to in a truck with me.
Oh, well, that's great. That's like a, you know, that's yep. bonus right there.
Yep. I think that's,
yeah, she had never worked for another company other than our newest company. Now we've been with them for what have we been with them, dear?
Since April,
we just started with them, right. because of an accident and an abandoned situation. We can get into that here later, but okay. But yeah, she had never worked with for another company for her first 5 years of driving, and right out of school, right with me, and
that's cool.
Hopefully, yeah. I was a good trainer.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Because if we get older, yeah, my first trainer, boy, he didn't know anything. Yep.
Wait till we talk to Jamie.
When she talks about what her trainer. At least he knew I showered.
Yeah, exactly. At least he showers.
Right.
Yeah, at least he knew I showered.
Yes, sir. So. There are some things that are just really important, and that's one of them. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's how I feel about it, you yes, know? Sir. Especially when you're sleeping with somebody else. It's like, you know what I mean? Well, sharing a space.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I don't necessarily mean sleeping with somebody else, but sharing space.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Obviously the chemistry is working between you and your wife, because, you know, I've said on the show before, and Brian said on the show, you know, with us that we're married like 34 plus years.
Yeah, I got 34.
You know, you have to have a good wife at home. Now you're dragging her with you.
Dragging her with you. Wow.
Or what, she's dragging you it, with Jim. Her. You know, oh, you know, we can go word. Either way here. We can go either way.
Jamie, but I mean, I'm sorry. Know. I'm sorry for Ship.
I mean, forgive you know, him. The 24/7, 365 bit, you know, does that there's, ever get on, you know, wear on you?
There is a lot of compromise.
Uh-huh. And, you learn that real quick.
There's a lot of patience. One thing I had to learn, even though I, like I said, I had about 5 years experience on her when she started, mm-hmm. was whoever is in this driver's seat is the boss.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Whoever is driving, they do their thing. They, you know, and especially kind of the beginning of trying to teach her to back up a little bit more than she learned in school. Sure. You know, anyone could drive down the road.
Yep.
But the backing up, the being into the tight spaces, and that I had to have a little patience with that, because she didn't have the 5 years experience of doing it.
Right.
But you gotta realize whoever's in that driver's seat is the boss. They're gonna do their things how they do it, and it was a learning curve, but we got there.
Good.
That's cool. That is. I think it's really cool. You know, every now and then you come across a couple who drive together like that. And yeah, I love my wife. Don't get me wrong. I don't know if I could spend, you know, it's got to take, like you said, compromise on both parts, you know, to make it, you know, to make it work. But it would be that way if you were teaming with anybody, right. You know?
Yeah.
At least this way you're teaming with somebody you actually love and you want to be around. So, you know, I think that works out. Yeah, you know, the more I think about it.
And you don't have to share the paycheck either, you know?
There you go.
Right. She just gets it all.
Well, that's...
Yeah. That's how I get lunch money and she right. gets bills and gets left.
Exactly.
You know?
That's how it is at my house. I get to buy coffee.
And she says, as long as you understand that, we'll have a good...
Relationship's awesome.
We're going to be blossoming here. Well, that's good. That's good.
No, it is. That really is. That's neat. Is Jamie's there, right?
Yeah.
Yep, she's right here.
How do you like riding with the two of you together? Does that work out really? Is that a good? I mean, I know you're not going to tell me no. You don't like it. But
before I started driving, I hated him being gone.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love it.
You know,
we get to spend all the time together.
That is, and you know, I never thought about it from that point of view. I'm glad you said that, because I never thought about it from what my wife's point of view is. There you go, Ship. I never thought about it from her point of view of being gone. That's right. Actually, that is a different perspective. And now, you know what? That kind of brings it into a clearer focus for myself. So I appreciate that.
I think, you know, when the wives or even husbands now that are home and the wife is gone, if they're busy and you got little ones at home, or if they got their own career and they stay busy, it's not quite so bad.
Right.
But I can only imagine for the wives, or like I said, even husbands now, if they don't have much going on at home and their significant other is just gone,
that could almost be like a
prison for them, you know? Sure. They're just...
Right.
Sitting around waiting for you to get home next week, or, you know, so.
Yeah, and depends on how long you're gone for, you know. It can be, you know, like you guys are out for 5 weeks at a time, and then you come home. So, you know, that if you're solo and your spouse is at home, yeah, that's a long time. Thank you, Jamie, because I never thought about it from that perspective. Yeah. I mean, really never did.
I mean, look at it this way. You know, he can actually say, this is what I was telling you about 4 years ago before you started. This is what happens out here. You know, right. it's not a tapestry of woven lies.
Oh,
it's really what happens.
Yeah.
I got held up 12 hours at this receiver. He wouldn't, you know, take the load off right away. You know, stupid stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you don't need to make too much stuff up out here on the road. Let me tell you, sometimes reality is.
Yeah.
A little crazier than what you could even dream of, you know?
Right. You know, as I say, you can't dream this shit up anywhere else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've had some stuff. I had a little list of kind of things I wanted to, you know, kind of touch on and talk with you guys about. And
have at it.
That, speaking of that, you know, I kind of grew up in the Midwest and... not a whole lot of experience. We never really traveled much as, you know, a youngster growing up. And it was eye-opening seeing different parts of the country. And actually, one of the first kind of things that stick in my mind was over towards your guys' way. Was that Breezewood?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh,
that's it.
Yeah, Breezewood. I remember stopping in the Breezewood truck stop. I think it was a TA.
Yep. Right there alongside the ramp.
I got fuel. You know, it was about lunchtime. I went in and I got fuel. I was going to use the bathroom, and I think I had a little McDonald's in there, and I was going to grab a little sandwich. But yeah, I got some fuel, and I walk into the men's restroom.
Uh huh.
There's about a 6'3" bearded fella standing at the urinal with a dress.
Nice.
And heels. And, you know, like I said, being a Midwest guy, I never really seen that too much. And I honestly walked out of the bathroom to make sure I didn't walk in the wrong bathroom. And then it dawned on me, no, he was standing, or she, I'm not really for sure, was standing at a urinal. I could have been in the wrong bathroom.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I don't think they have urinals in the women's room.
It has a kickstand.
I know things have changed in the world, but I've never been in a women's bathroom. Right. And I don't think they have those, but
I'm with you.
It was an eye opener. Let me tell you, but
I bet.
Only in Breezewood.
I mean, he didn't even go in the stall. He just had the dress hiked right up, you know?
Wow.
And he come out, and I noticed the truck as I was going in, and it was a nice custom Peterbilt, all chrome lights, beautiful truck.
High heels, nice dress.
Got right into it. pulled away.
Wow.
I didn't know you could drive an 18-speed in heels, but apparently you can, you know?
Wow.
I would think you'd have to have flats, but evidently not.
Nope. Well, but, you know, are they steel tips?
Right.
That's all they care about now, you know?
And they have to be a good size 12 or 14 heels, too, you know? So.
That just brings up, conjures up all kinds of pictures in your head. You're like, you know what? I don't, yeah.
You know. It's a 5 o'clock shadow somewhere.
Yes, it is.
That was one of my first experiences to be, hey, you're not in farmland Michigan anymore, you know? So.
Oh, that's for sure. Wow. That's a wake-up call. You know, man, that is a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
So you grew up in Michigan as well, correct?
Yep. My wife and I both did.
Okay.
Graduated from the same high school. She lived about a few miles away from where my parents lived and grew up. I kind of grew up. I moved there as a teenager, as a young teenager. But yeah, I loved it up there. I moved from the city at about 14. I say city, but it was outskirts of Detroit, just about an hour north of Detroit.
Okay.
And we moved about an hour farther north to the country. And I hated it at first, you know.
Yeah.
Coming from kind of a city and lots of things to do and you know, things like that. Literally we lived next to like a 50-acre cornfield and there wasn't nothing going on, and it was rough for the first few years. But I tell you, after living up there now and getting into more hunting and fishing and enjoying the outdoor life, I'd never live in a city again, you know.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. You know, the further away from the city I move, the more I like it. I like the solitude.
Yeah, we enjoy it. We are actually about a year and a half ago we moved from the Thumb area of Michigan.
Okay.
Everyone points at their hand if you know you're from Michigan, so
yep.
We moved from the Thumb area up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and okay. it's about as rural as you can get, you know. That's so awesome.
I bet it gets cold in wintertime though.
Oh, lots of snow, of snow, really cold. Sometimes we go home, you know, during the winter months, and it might be 10, 15, 20 below. You guys know, you're from the kind of northeast over there as well. 10, 15, 20 below, 2 feet of snow, and then
70 degrees tomorrow.
36 hours later, we're down here in the desert, you know. Wow, so. Yeah.
That is a lot of change. That is a lot of change. So you have a thing here where you would talk about local versus over the road. And I was curious what is your thoughts there?
Well, I don't know, you know, in everyone's experience, but in mine, we make way more money. It seems like you have a little more freedom with the over the road. My first about 3 years. I did the 6 month, you know, kind of my training and get a little experience with Werner there. Then, the next 3 years I worked for, just a kind of, they did some regional stuff, but most of it was local automotive, Detroit metro area. I was home every day.
Okay.
For the most part. And, I enjoyed it, but it kind of had the feel of punching the time clock, which I did, you know, so, but. Yeah, we enjoy the over the road, and even the little bit I did kind of by myself, I enjoyed that a little better as far as punching the clock every day. But
yeah, but
they both have their benefits and downfalls.
Oh, you definitely. Know, definitely.
You're out for, like I said, for 5 weeks now, and you got to go home, and everything you haven't done for 5 weeks, you kind of need to get, you know, done. And
yes.
Even just going home on the weekends. That was tough for us, actually. That was even worse because we'd go home for our 34-hour, you know, restart, or sometimes we'd get a whole 2 days off. And it's like being together, everything, you know, we had to cut the grass. We had to do our laundry once we got home.
Sure.
That was even worse. So yeah. That's why we enjoy the 5 weeks out here and then going home for a whole week. You got a day or two of kind of stuff you need to do, and then the rest you can enjoy, you know?
So. Yeah, that's awesome. That's an awesome way to look. You know, I like that. I wouldn't mind doing that. You know, that actually sounds good. Ship, what are you thinking about?
Oh, no, I'm just thinking, I'm comparing him to, you know, with what he's saying to like our scenario.
Uh-huh.
You know, we finish up Saturday morning, we get our, you know,
a day and a half.
Day and a half, and we're back. And we're, you know, we're basically back. You know, it's Monday.
Right.
Gotta go to bed now so I can get up this afternoon to go to work.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, a day and a half, really, you know?
Yeah.
34 hours. I mean, Virtually, it's almost, it's a little bit more than a 34. It's almost a 48, not even a, it's a reset. It's a 34-hour reset.
Yeah.
I never really thought, I just started thinking about that.
Like, now imagine if your wife's with you, you have no one at home.
Yeah.
You know, no one's doing the laundry. No one's cutting the grass. No one's checking the mail.
Sure.
And you got to do all that on that 34 hours and 48. And we did that for about 2 years, and that was tough. That was tough.
So because, you know, there's some days you just want to sit there and you want to just hold that couch down and don't bother me. You know, but yes, like sir. You said, you have grass, you got laundry, you got this, because you got to get this done because we got to be back on the road.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that took me back there, you know, just thinking about all that.
Yeah, I saw a look on Chip's face that I don't usually see. He was really contemplating.
That was a deep thought.
He was thinking.
He was.
I was and thinking, all right.
Those are faces I'm not used to.
Yeah.
Terrible.
But yeah, we've definitely seen some stuff over the road. Had some experiences, close calls for sure. I can remember one, this was before my wife started driving. She was just riding with me for, she was working at a bank at the time. She had a little time off and she could make this trip with me. I was running from, like I said, around the Detroit metro area down to South Carolina.
Okay.
And of course, I'm running down 77 through West Virginia. And being from Michigan, it's flat ground. I never... You know, of course, I did my pre-trip before I took off and all that, but
sure.
I didn't think to check to make sure my jig brakes worked. I forgot one little important thing, and the first hill or two I hit there in West Virginia, rolling down the turnpike, there was it was an eye opener. Let me tell you,
the pucker factor went up.
Ooh. I put those jig brakes on and nothing. I looked over at my wife. She looked at me because she was fairly familiar with it too. And I said, "Hang on, dear." thankfully we weren't too heavy. But let me tell you, that's the most driving I've ever done in my life. it was about 30, 35 miles an hour, maybe sometimes 20 miles an hour at the top of the hill. And without burning up the brakes or out the transmission, I was doing about 70 by the time I got to the bottom.
Wow.
That was a long 2 or 3 hours down those mountains, let me tell you.
Oh, right. I bet. Yes, sir. I bet. Wow.
I'm surprised she wanted to become a truck driver after that.
I was going
to
say, you know, she's a keeper if she's gonna go. You know, she's gonna get her license and do driving after that type of stuff. Heck yeah, dude, that's awesome.
Let me tell you, I never forget to make sure my jig brakes work before I leave anywhere.
Yes, well, yep. You know what do they say? Experience is the best teacher.
Yep,
that's an experience you don't want to have again.
Yeah, trial by fire.
No, nope, you only touch that hot stove once, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You have on your list here, but Jamie getting her license. How did... she went to school and all that, so... Jamie?
Yes.
What's the story behind the story?
Yeah, what's the story? how did you... what's the story? We'll just leave it at that. I think that's a good way to do it.
I was working at the bank, and he was... you were running every day coming home, right?
I was running local stuff at that time. Detroit area to Chicago and back. Just home enough to sleep and say goodbye again.
Right. Yeah.
And I was working as much as they could work me without giving me benefits. So it seemed like I was, you know, 30 some hours
39.
And not making enough money.
Yeah.
Right.
So we looked into schooling, and it just made sense because I was bringing home like $220 a week, working almost 40 hours.
Wow.
And my first paycheck, you know, driving truck was like $1,200.
Yeah.
And I did less work. So it was just an easy decision. I mean, money wise, and then we could be together.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to, you know, waste time at the bank.
Right.
And now, you know, it's funny. When I first started driving, I tried talking Michelle into doing it. And she's just like, no, I can't do that. I can never drive. I'm like, it's not like it's, you know, like you're some kind of superhero powers or something in order to drive a truck. You're just a regular person. You could do it. And yeah. And now she has rheumatoid arthritis, so now she can't do it. So, it is what it is. But I think that's really cool. I just do. I think that's really cool that you went out and you got your license. Have you enjoyed driving since you've been doing it? Has it changed like in the 5 or 6 years that you're driving? Have you seen changes and have you enjoyed doing the job?
When I first started was right before they put in the ELDs. Mm-hmm. So I mean that was an overnight change, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We literally like the next day truck stops were just packed and we couldn't park anywhere.
Yeah.
Once they put those in.
Yeah, because everybody's looking for a parking because now they have to take their break. Right. You know?
Yeah.
It is, the ELD thing has made a lot of changes in the trucking industry, and parking is one of them. Yeah, and just like, trying to figure out when you're going to take your breaks, when you're going to do this, when you're going to do, and having your time. Now, how does that work out for you guys with the sleeper berth and all that? I don't know if ours, does ours have a sleeper berth thing on it? Because I never even looked at it.
Yeah.
I don't look at that part. It's like, okay. Is it still 10 hours? You have to have 10 hours in your sleeper berth,
you
right?
You have to have 10 hours off. But you can actually split the 10 hours. In a sleeper berth.
I believe it's we pretty much use just 10 hours in a sleeper berth.
Right.
But technically you can have 8 hours in a sleeper berth, 2 hours in the passenger seat. You can split it up.
Right.
But you still have to have your 10 consecutive and you have to have 8 consecutive in the sleeper berth. So before you can start driving again.
Yeah, it's a lot easier if you just do your straight 10 and be done with it. You don't have to, did I do the 8? Now I got 2, just a lot more numbers to be keeping in the back of your head.
Yeah, you don't have to keep track of anything. You just like, if you hit off duty, you're off duty for 10 hours. You just hit sleeper berth and you're in that for 10 hours.
Right.
Easier to keep track of.
Sure.
But we don't run too hard. Not anymore. We never really kind of run out of our hours or anything.
That's
We stay busy, but, we're getting to the age that at 70 hours gets rough,
Right. Yeah.
Yes, it
does.
It's
all about time management, how you manage your time. And, when the ELDs came out, you were hearing from truck drivers, we're going to lose money. But, I haven't seen a truck driver complain he's lost money, other than the increasing the fuel prices and stuff like that. They're still driving. They're still getting the same rates, So...
I honestly think it
makes a lot more people, a lot more truck drivers honest, per se. It's harder to cheat the system at this point.
Yeah, I think some of them still do somehow. They get around it, right. They unplug things, do that. And there's always, if it's the law, someone's going to find a way around it.
Yeah,
but for me, even when I was on paper, there was times that I might have drove a little extra to get to a truck stop or something.
Right.
But I was never a 2-3 logbook guy, and I never wanted to work that hard,
Exactly. That's why I got into trucking. I didn't want to work that hard.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And it seemed like, honestly, even when I did run a little harder than we do now, or I did then, run harder than I do now. I never had any more money, So,
it's a funny thing. When Tony first started driving, I was, was not necessarily happy about it. Cause I know, when you're married and you have kids and all those things. And for my wife and I, it's 10, 12 hour day or more, and being local, they keep you out and they run you till they're done. you know.
Yep. Yes,
and he was like, "Well, yeah, Dad, I'm, Tony would, you know, he's looking to get as many hours as he can." I said, "Tony, hold on a second. I'm going to tell you something you got to learn. It's not about how much you gross. It's not about how many hours you make. It's about how much you take home. And there comes a point where you're making more gross and you're kind of losing out because you're, you know, it gets eaten up in taxes." I said, figure out what that point is for yourself and go from there. You don't have to work 60 hours a week. Cause I have found that, you know, taking one of the longest runs that we have, you know, in our road system, in our line haul here in Allentown, I did that for a short period of time. And I found that working that is the same as taking some of the other shorter runs in your take home pay. So it's not about how much you make, it's how much you take home. That is what I'm saying.
Yeah. You can work yourself right into the hospital, and you know, you're not going to get rich being a truck driver.
No,
you can make a good living. You're a good employee. You're dedicated, and you work the hours, and you can make a good living. But you're not going to get rich, and you can eat off the dollar menu all you want, but you're not gonna make $1 million a year. You know.
Yep, that's it. That's it. And you know, it's a good job and it pays well and you can have a good life. You know, that is to me, I don't need $1 million. You know, I have a nice wife, I have, you know, three great kids. That's life. You know?
Yeah.
To me, that's life.
Yeah. And that's the thing, especially if you got little ones, you know, it's the time away, but if you are over the road, not home every day. Even if you are home every day, well, you're home to sleep, shower, and you're back at it. And you know,
yeah, right?
That's it. That's
yeah, it. You're not home. You're not home at 5 o'clock, so you can take, you know, the little one to basketball practice or baseball practice or whatever. You're home 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, if you're lucky.
Yeah. You got little ones. They're little for 5 or 6 years, and then they're not. You know, mm-hmm. So. Yes. That's important too, you know, to be home. Everyone needs to make a living, and being a truck driver is a great way to do it. Don't get me wrong, but it can take away from other things as well, you know? So.
Most definitely. I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. You were, in Texas for that bombing thing, weren't you? For the bomber. Was that?
Yeah.
Yes, I'll let my wife explain that one. I was actually sleeping, but it kind of woke me up as well.
Wow.
But yeah, it was a scary event for her, that's for sure.
Yeah, I bet it was. It would scare the crap out of me.
Right. Walk us through that.
Yeah.
What all transpired there?
Traffic was getting detoured off of 35 right before Round Rock in Texas. And there weren't any semis in front of me, so the cop pulled up, or when I pulled up to the cop, he said, "Just follow everybody, you'll be good, you know, you can fit, we got you guys going around, there's a situation with the police." And so I'm like, okay, so I turned and I was, you know, following the detour, and all of a sudden, you heard and felt just like a big boom, and I looked it up once we got to where we were going, and that guy blew himself up when the cops were chasing him. They caught up to him and he blew himself up.
Wow. That has got to be an experience and a half. I mean, that has just got to be crazy.
It was crazy.
I bet. Oh my word. Yeah. You're trying to drive and take care of business and doing your thing. And you hear something like that, that's just got to shock you. You know, it's just got to shock you. You know,
I didn't know what it was. I mean, I had just not started that long before that, driving at night, you know, you don't really want to take roads you don't normally go down.
Right.
So,
Definitely. Yeah. Wow. That has got to be an experience and a half. And it was enough to wake Johnson. So, you know, I mean, it wake you out of your sleep like that.
Oh, it'll wake you up, let me tell you. I honestly thought she blew a tire or something, you know, and I kind of woke up and, uh-huh. Well, we're not, we're not even on the interstate. What's going on, you know?
Where did you get us to?
Yeah, she's like, oh, yeah. And then she told me, you know, cops made her, you know, get off. Sure. And there was a situation. I'm like, oh, I knew right then and there. Obviously, the situation didn't end well, you know. So, yeah, I assumed it was just a tire or something. I'm like, oh, you know. 2 hours to get a service out here.
Right.
Exactly. Wow.
I almost wish it was, you know, compared to what actually. But
yeah, exactly.
I had a, speaking of suicide, I had a, I don't know, I was about 8 months, seven, 8 months into driving, and was running up through Buffalo. I was actually going to Maine. Mm-hmm. First time I'd ever... was headed to Maine, beautiful up there, but I'm running through Buffalo, and it's kind of traffic, and I seen a vehicle parked on the side of the road, and of course, you know, you should get over. I put my signal on. There's a pickup and like a landscape trailer he had hooked to his pickup, and he's not getting over, you know. Oh, come on, there's no one in the other lane, get over, guy, you know. And I start edging a little bit more, kind of make him get over a little bit, you know. And this car parked on the side of the road, I locked eyes with him. He looked in his mirror, and I'm looking right in his eyes, and he pulled right out. Wow. I mean, there's no explanation other than that's what he was trying to do, you know. And thankfully, the pickup next to me was a little bit ahead of me, and he seen the guy pull out too, so he kind of hit the median, and I got over. I don't know how I missed him. I, by the grace of God, I did, you know. Wow. But I'm another inch, and I probably would have granted his wish that day, you know.
Yeah, right. Oh my word.
Yeah, and then
I've been in a couple accidents, a couple minor things, nothing major. And I couldn't imagine doing that, you know, even though it's not your fault, even though there's nothing sometimes you can really do, you know, knowing you took someone's life, that would be tough for me. I don't even know. I know guys that have, they still drive, but I don't know if I could drive after that, you know? Right. So,
yeah, like I said, that's something you'd have to live with the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, what a horrible thing to do to somebody else, you know, in the process of you trying to take your own life, to, you know, really almost destroy another person's life, you know.
To involve someone else in that decision. I mean, thankfully, I've never been in a situation in my life where that was even a thought. But I understand that some people do. They're the depression, their life can be hard, you know, but to involve someone else is that's just wrong to me, you know. So,
yep. You know, go find a hybrid.
It'd be tough it'd be tough to climb back in the cab after that. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Oh my word, yeah. That would be. I don't know. I'd have a hard time with it. So
yeah,
I'm with you on that, man.
Yeah, like I said, even though you know you're not really responsible, you know, but
yeah. There's nothing you can do. I mean, you're just going to live with it. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. And some guys can deal with it. You know, some people can seem to deal. Like you said, you know some guys who've dealt with that, and they're back in the truck and driving. I don't know if I could. I honestly, up until probably a year ago or so, I you know, after the accident that I had, I was nervous a lot. You know, you don't say anything to anybody. You just get in. You do your job. But there were things that were like, you know, just make me nervous, you know, being in you know, kind of a congested area with a bunch of other cars. You don't know what somebody's going to do, you know? And,
I'm going to say that's how we ended up switching companies, and we're with our new company now. And, these guys are great, but, my wife was in an accident. She was coming up running in some fog and It had been super foggy, and then it'd clear up and super foggy. So she was dealing with the traffic slowing down, speeding up, four ways on. And so she's coming up. We were actually rolling up I-55 through Missouri, coming into Illinois. Right at the river. Almost, I can't think of the town offhand, but, she's coming up running through some fog, and the truck in front of her got on his brakes. He threw his four ways on. She got on her brakes and, threw her four ways on and, got over in the hammer lane,
mm-hmm.
Just so she wouldn't rear end them. And, still on her brakes, but, next thing you know, yeah, it was stop traffic, and it was a horrible accident.
Wow.
Not the part we were involved, but ahead of that was a bunch of wreck trucks. I think six or seven people ended up dying in that wreck.
Wow!
But she clipped the flatbed that was in front of us. Not really much damage to. The flatbed that was in front of us, but it did flatten his tire, and she kind of clipped it with our steer tire.
Okay.
And it ripped the whole steering kind of apart, and we kind of ended up in the median. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, but it was bad enough, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
I woke up in the floor, you know, and that's no way to wake up, let me tell you.
Right.
Nope, that's for sure.
Thankfully, no injuries. I mean, you know, a little bruised up and a little banged up, but thankfully no injuries to us or the person we hit.
Good.
And, she wasn't ticketed. It was understandable, you know, the weather caused it, you know. Of course, we called the boss and let him know what happened, mm-hmm. and, everything was fine. I let him know where, you know, obviously his truck was getting towed. We couldn't drive it with only 17 wheels, you know, so.
Right.
No issues there. Okay. You know, I'll have someone recover the trailer. The freight's got to get there and all that. And I kind of, obviously we didn't get a ticket. Everything's good. What's going to happen? Are we going to, you going to try to get us a truck and basically just told us, let me know when you get back to Michigan and, we'll get you back to work. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Like, you going to help me get back to Michigan? I don't have any, I drive your vehicle.
Right.
You know? So, that kind of set hard with us, you know, kind of pretty much felt abandoned at that point. And,
I don't
pretty much
you.
Were, you know, right. Yeah, we walked across the street, got a hotel room, and thankfully, you know, we money situation was fine. We could do that, and we could eat. And, I didn't understand the, let me know when you get back to Michigan and I'll put you back to work.
Right.
Kind of abandon you. So that didn't sit well with us. So we ended up leaving that company and, started with a new one, you know, so.
I don't blame you at all.
I didn't really even know that was an option. I kind of assumed, like, if you work for a company, and this is a company I've worked for almost 7 years. Uh-huh. Jamie had worked for her entire almost 5 years of driving.
Wow.
You know, no previous history of, you know, accidents or tearing anything up or nothing like that.
Sure.
We both had clean records, and just to be that way is that, I couldn't go back to work for a company like that, you know, so.
Yeah, and you know, it, again, you know, being where we are in time, you know, where drivers are hard to come by, you know, you'd think, okay, hey, you know, these are good people. They've been good employees. We've had them for, you know, seven years, 5 years. They're working together and things are going good. One incident and all of a sudden it's like, well, yeah, well, when you get here, you know, we'll put you back to us. Wait a second, dude, you know, we're here, you're there. How are we supposed to get there? You know, I totally understand that. It's like that would be off-putting to me too.
Right.
That really would be.
Yeah. And with the situation of everything going on, there's, we couldn't rent a car. There was no rentals around. I even called it like, try to get a U-Haul. Like people, you know, rent when they move their stuff.
Right.
I was like, I'll drive a U-Haul back to Michigan. You know, I'm 11, 12 hours away from home.
Right.
And, there was no U-Haul. Well, there was one U-Haul I could rent, was a giant U-Haul that was over $1,000 to rent.
Wow.
Not to mention the fuel.
Right.
And, So luckily, my father-in-law was willing to make the 11-hour drive down to pick us up, and you know,
that's awesome.
Had family willing to do that, so yeah. But it worked out. But yeah, I didn't understand. I assumed if you worked for a company, they were kind of responsible to get a driver home if there was a breakdown or an accident. But I found out there's no law making a company responsible if,
right,
you know, they can put you in a truck and have you haul freight all the way across the country, and when you get there, and thanks for doing that for us and good luck.
Yeah,
you know,
you're fired. So, yeah, I mean, it's just,
yeah,
you think just out of common courtesy, you know, that somebody has, you know, something like this happens, and these things happen, you know. It's beyond your control. I mean, you guys weren't ticketed or anything like that. There was no, you know, nothing like that. So it's like, you know, have a little bit of courtesy, have a little bit of compassion, you know, because I know how nervous I was when I had my accident and it wasn't my fault, you know, and, you know, just that feeling of, you know, man, you're just, you know, you're nervous. Things are, you're very tense. You're very, and to just say, well, you're on your own, you know, when you get back here, let me know. It's like, what do you think we're going to do? Hitchhike, you know?
Yeah. I don't think most companies, obviously, they don't operate that way. If you're right. A good employee, they want to keep you.
Yes.
But I think a lot of the issue with the former company was, it was a mom, a dad, and a son that owned the company. Gotcha. Fairly large. They had about 100 trucks.
Wow. A
couple hundred years. But I think they were kind of transitioning more towards being like a local. I noticed most of the newer trucks in the 7 years that I worked for them,
mm-hmm.
or almost 7 years, was coming in was more day cabs. They were transitioning more to being more of a local, just kind of peddling freight around the Detroit metro area.
Okay.
And the father kind of is stepping away more, and the son was kind of picking up things, and the son was more all about the money than a little more, you know, personable. So
sure. That's...
we went from like getting a Christmas bonus, you know, every year. First 3 or 4 years I worked for him, I got, you know, $100 at Christmas, got a turkey at Thanksgiving, and, you know, good people to work for. And then it seemed like the son's taking over now, and I think the last year we worked, they gave us like $100 gift card towards their website for Christmas to wear their, you know, to wear their logo around.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you want me to advertise for you for Christmas, you know? So.
Yeah, thanks.
So, nice. It wasn't the way we wanted to kind of transition to a new company, but it all worked out.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, it took you just to where you are now, and you know, things seem to be all right as far as I can tell. Right? Is that correct?
Yeah. We haven't had any bad experience. I mean, it's only been, you know, a few months here, a couple months now, but yeah, we enjoy it. These people are great. I mean, we were out. We worked 5 weeks, like I said, and during those 5 weeks, sometimes that's holidays and that's weekends and all that. We were out over Easter,
mm-hmm.
and I pulled in a fuel stop and on a Saturday night and got fuel. And one of my dispatch called and said, "Hey, we put $50 on your card for Easter dinner tomorrow." You know, so
cool.
Things like that make a big difference.
It's the, you know, little when you're things, working, yes. For a company. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel appreciated. You feel like, you know, they actually care about their employees. That's important. It really is important.
Yeah. Yeah. We plan on doing this for at least the next 15, 20 years. So, you know, you want to keep an employee like that, you know, so
right. Most
that's how you do it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You want to keep somebody and have some kind of longevity and loyalty to the company. You know, you do some of those small things that seem like, you know, something small to the company, but are actually really big things to the driver. That is one of the things that I think sometimes gets overlooked, is you know, just those small courtesies that should happen that don't. So I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're with a company like that. That's good.
That makes a huge difference.
Yep. Yeah.
Somebody appreciates.
Yeah. When you got to get up at 3 a.m. and, you know, get the coffee going and do all that, and then it makes it a little better knowing you feel a little appreciated, you know. Yes. So
yes, and coffee is a necessity at 3 a.m. and it's a necessity at 4:30 in the afternoon when I get up. It's a necessity. It is the only way to start the day.
I drink a little bit of it, but I don't have an IV injected like you. You know, so.
If I didn't have that, I wouldn't be doing much of anything other than work. And even that, I don't know. So I said to my wife, you know, she doesn't drink coffee. And I said, well, I don't know how you don't drink coffee. How do you move? How do you get up? How do you wake up? You know, it's pretty easy
for me.
It's a necessity. It is just necessary for me. It's like, you know, it's like breathing, you know, it's just going to happen. But, you know, anytime you have to get up and, you know, like you guys, you get up and you're at work. It's not like I get up and I got, you know, I have, you know, an hour and a half, pack my lunch, get myself ready, kind of get myself geared into it and get ready to go. And then I drive an hour to work and then I start. You guys wake up and you're at work. Yeah. You know, what's that like?
Four steps from the bunk to the steering wheel.
Yeah.
in some ways it's bad. You know, I guess there's not the, you can't call in sick.
I was going to say that. How does one call in sick when they're exactly in their own sleeper truck?
Sorry, boss. I'm not going to make it to work today. That doesn't really cut it when you're out here living in it, you know. But in some ways it's bad. Other ways it's good. I don't, you know, we don't. I don't have to fill the gas tank up two or three times a week.
Right.
My truck sits at home until I get home. You know, my pickup.
Yeah.
You don't have the commute to work, you know, things like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I spend 10 hours a week just driving back and forth to work. You know, that's on
a good week.
And that's on a good week. And that's when there's not Valentine's Day and snow, and I'm sitting there for 15 hours. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and the, you know, $175 a gallon of gas is going to be here soon.
Yes, sir. You got that right. At the rate we're going, it is climbing quickly. Speaking of like you guys, with all the traveling that you do, you guys get into some kind of, you know, you got to see some weather conditions and crap like that.
Oh, we see a bunch.
I can only imagine, especially in the areas that you drive.
The last one we were in was just, it wasn't terrible, but I mean, you get used to it somewhat. We were coming back from here in El Paso, and I'd never really seen a sandstorm so bad.
Wow!
I've been through running out here out west for a few years now, so you get a little used to it. But I mean, 60, 70 mile an hour winds, and you know, being from the north, it was like having a whiteout. You know, like when it snows, you know, you literally can't see 5 feet in front of your truck. And you just come on it. You see it coming, but it comes on you quick, you know. And that was just a couple weeks ago, or just last week, matter of fact. Big sandstorm, and those can be just as dangerous as snow. You know, it doesn't make the road slick, but you can't see.
Right.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that is like 99.9% of our driving is seeing. You know, when you can't, that does make it really hard.
Yeah.
Think about this, though. Think about this. If we can incorporate a sandstorm to hit Pennsylvania after the 4 inches of snow fell, we'd have traction.
There you go.
We don't need PennDOT.
We don't need PennDOT. I sit here thinking of ways around PennDOT in the wintertime, and that would work. That would work. You know, for 1 year, you'd hear I-80s open in Pennsylvania for some unknown reason. Phenomenon sandstorms hit after snow.
From the last time I went through Pennsylvania, I don't think PennDOT was even working anyway.
See?
So I don't think they're missing anything.
I'm not the only person that says this.
Exactly. Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to Jack. We were talking last week, and he said about Penn. Yeah, we were talking about PennDOT. And he goes to me about, you know, he says about not, do they, like, ship says to him, at, you know, it's like they go home at midnight.
They fold up shop at midnight.
They come back out at 5:30 in the morning. And Jack looks at him and goes, really? And I was like, well, mostly.
Yes.
For the most part, that seems to be the way it is out here. But, you know.
But I'll tell you, give it a chance. Oh, there might be some flurries tonight. Every 1,500 feet, there's a PennDOT truck.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. They're all sitting on the side of the road waiting.
Yes. Huh. Ooh, there's one flake.
It's crazy.
It's not much better in Michigan, let me tell you.
Really? Wow. You know?
Yeah, they're...
You see some states that get the snow, and I mean, they'll move the snow. I mean, you know, they have a good science to it, and that road could be 8 inches deep, and, you know, by the time that train goes through, all the lanes are cleared. It's not just one half-ass passable lane. It's from shoulder to shoulder. Things wide open.
Yeah. That was the last time I ran through Pennsylvania. Like I said, it was the winter time. It was snowing. It wasn't terrible there. We were kind of staying ahead of the storm, but the roads were pretty bad. They weren't staying on top of them at all. I got to Connecticut and parked, and it snowed about a foot over there that night overnight, and it had just kind of recently quit snowing when I got up and they unloaded the freight and I took off and. I was amazed. Like, this doesn't happen in Michigan. This didn't happen all the way over here. The roads were perfectly clear.
Yeah.
I was like, we got a foot of snow in Michigan. It might be 2 days before the roads are clear, you know?
You know, you can understand, you know, down south, if they get a freak ice storm or something, you know, a lot of them, they actually just laugh and say, we just wait for it to melt. I mean, if they did that up here in the northern section, there wouldn't be freight moving for 6 weeks out of a month.
Yeah. Out of a month?
Out of a month. Yeah, well, you know, it's that deep, you know, it's a long
month.
We're
adding time.
Groundhog Day.
Yep. Where I live, you're waiting till the 4th of July. You
right.
Know, so.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got caught in, matter of fact, last year, right just south of Dallas, what is that? Little town just south of Dallas, anyway, outskirts of Dallas, Carl's Corner, Texas. It was raining coming up from the border, and it was raining. I mean, it was just pouring, and I'm watching the weather, and I'm watching the temperature on this truck gauge, and it's about 45, and I drive another hour, and now it's down to 40, and now it's down to 35. I'm like, oh, this stuff is going to freeze, you know. So
you're getting there.
We pulled in, and by the time I pulled in and parked, and everything was just starting to ice up, and it was terrible. We were there for, I sat in the parking lot for 2.5 days, my wife and I did.
Wow.
And, and it was still kind of bad when we left, but it was, the sun come out enough, it was melting the road, you know, so. Right. We got out of there, but it was only about 100-mile stretch there that it froze. But I mean, there was an inch of ice on everything. In the 2.5 days we sat there, we watched at least 14 trucks come in that was wrecked trying to run in that stuff, you know.
You know, that's the thing I don't get. If you don't have to run, you know, just park it for a little while, give yourself a break, you know, kind of reset. And let the weather take care of itself, you know. That's
If they don't have plows and salt and, you know, and it's that, I mean, we had freight that was headed to Detroit and General Motors wanted it, but it wasn't going to do us any good to be wrecked somewhere. Yep. They weren't going to get the freight either way, you know, so.
That's it. I'd rather get there in one piece.
Sometimes you got to err on the side of caution there and, you know, that's. Just the unforeseen instance that happened.
It is. You know, that's part of the trucking industry. That's part of doing what we do. You know, you have to make that call sometimes. And sometimes it's just better to just stay there, you know, sit it out.
Yeah.
It'll be good. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the nature of the beast. You know, you're going to run into storms and you're not going to avoid them all. But when it's that bad and, you know, you're seeing, they're left and right going into the ditch and trucks are getting pulled out. And what are you really doing out there? You know, the juice ain't worth the squeeze at that point. So they say, you know,
right. Yes, sir, you got that right. You got that right. You know, it was like that on Thursday night. It rained here. Was it Thursday night or Wednesday night? It just, It's like the sky opened up. It's like you were driving through a waterfall constantly. I don't think I've ever seen it rain like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just crazy. And it was like you were in it and then out of it. And it, I mean, it was just.
You're in, out, in, out, in, out. It's
and when you were insane. In it.
Yeah, you were
in it. You were in it.
You were in it. Everybody with their four ways on, yep. And, you know.
Yep.
You know, and then you get the guy still with the daytime running lights on. It is 1:30 in the morning, and you can't figure out your lights are not on yet.
They pass you. You can't see them once they
get back. You lose them. Yeah, you lost them. They're just gone. No taillights.
That is every night. Yep. That is crazy.
It is.
I think that's one of the worst inventions they come up with on a vehicle, you know?
Well, that's because now we have to have, the cars have to have automatic headlights that everything turns on because we just have drivers that are too stupid to flip a switch.
Well, I think if you're not intelligent enough to be able to turn the lights off and on, you probably shouldn't be driving anyway, you know?
That. Yes, yeah. Sir.
And my answer to those guys are, and you're going to hate me when I say this, if you flip your high beams on and the blue light lights on the dashboard, then all your lights are on. But then they'll forget to turn that blue light off, and they're going to be driving at you with their high beams on.
Yeah.
So either way, you're screwed. You're going to get blinded or you're not seeing them, whichever.
Oh.
I'd rather get blinded. At least I know they're there.
Yeah. And you can just blind them right back.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When I say that out loud.
At least you know what to get out of the way of then, you know.
Right, exactly. You know, it gives you something to look at and say, hey, somebody's coming at me, you know. But, you know, and you know what I'm starting to see is big trucks doing that.
Yeah.
Coming at you. Like, you know, you're passing on the highway. They're coming at you. They're coming the opposite direction. And their high beams are on. And you're like, what the freaking hell's the matter with you? You know, you're blind and everything. And you're supposed to be a professional. I look at the trucking world around me nowadays, and it is just so different. 30 years ago to today, it's a different world, man. It is a different world.
It's either they're blinding you or it's the trucks that don't have their lights adjusted properly.
Yeah, so they're shooting you in the eyeballs. Yeah,
they're looking at the tree. What's in the tree 50 feet in the air?
Yes.
And you can really check that out in the fog. That's when you can really tell those really guys.
Yeah, I would say even in the 10 years, you know, the 10 years that I've been driving, it's been night or day out here.
Mm. Yeah.
There's so many changes, so many... you know, and you kind of beat a dead horse if you got a little experience out here. Everyone knows and they see it, but just the camaraderie of being a truck driver, helping the other guy out. And I remember this past winter, I pulled in, me and my wife were switching. It was, I had enough for the day, and it was her turn to drive. And she walked over to a Dairy Queen. She wanted to get something for lunch for that evening, and a guy was stuck in the snow, you know, so I unhooked the trailer and went over there with a tow strap and got him out. And it was like he was amazed that someone come and helped him, you know what I mean? And it shouldn't be that way, you know. You see another driver and needs help, and I understand you're busy and you got your own stuff to do too, and but there could be a little more camaraderie out here, you know. So
most people are too quick to grab phones and record them and put them on social media so everybody can laugh at them.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
I mean, Brian had an issue. It was last or the week before.
Where I blew my turbo.
You blew a clamp off the intercooler.
Yeah, Monday night.
And you know, our own company trucks drove right by him. You know, and I was about 110 miles away from him. I literally got to the terminal, and I caught one of the mechanics, and he actually gave me a clamp and gave me the tools to change the clamp, and I literally got within 15 minutes of Brian before the road service crew. That they called out and got to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just unbelievable. Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, your own drivers don't even have the courtesy to call on the radio and say, hey, you doing okay there? Is everything all right? Do you need anything? Nothing. They just, you know, nowadays it's just radio silence, you know. Yeah. It's crazy.
But I mean, even Brian was shocked that I actually got the part he needed.
I said, I'm on the way.
I'll make the turn, and you know, they can wait 25 minutes. Right. You can get on your way.
But yeah,
that's terrible to be your own company, you know, yeah. We're supposed to be in this together.
Yeah.
I mean, just ask, see how, you know, make sure they're doing okay. Make sure they don't need anything or whatever, you know, just courtesy.
It might not, you know, unfortunately or fortunately it was just that, but what if it was something serious, you know?
Right.
Someone's having a heart attack and now you got to go in and, hey, this is my employee. I just passed and didn't help him out. And you know, now I'm going to his funeral.
And we've actually had that happen. Here at Pitt. Yeah, where, you know, one guy he actually died on the side of the road in his truck.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And to think, you know, if a fellow employee just drove by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a few years ago now. I don't know. Were you here when that happened, Chip?
I think I with just Sam? Started. Yeah.
Sammy from Cherry Hill.
Cherry Hill.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's horrible. All the places, this is the only thing I say to my wife. I don't care. Lord can take me home whenever he wants. Just don't let me burn in a truck, and I don't want to die on the side of the road. You know? The things I'm asking, you know? Make it a heart attack in the middle of the night, you know? I'm good.
Yeah, like I said, I haven't been out here that long. It's only been about 10 years, but in those 10 years, I've seen some horrible things.
And yeah.
There's definitely a dark side to being out here and traveling across the country. You know, the accident I was speaking of, you know, mm-hmm. made us switch companies. You know, 6 or 7 people died, and they were kind of, you know, I mean, they were pretty much covered up, but they wheel them right by, you know. And
terrible.
You know, I've seen a couple motorcycle accidents where, you know, they were covered up, you know, and
yes.
It makes you do those pre-trips. It makes you aware of, or it should, you know, makes you aware of how quickly things can turn bad out here, you know, so.
Amen to that. And that is the thing that a lot of people don't realize. As, you know, especially, you know, four-wheelers going around you is one thing, and you understand that, they're not supposed to be a trained professional. They're a person in their car. But when you have big trucks doing some of the things that you see them doing, that's where it's, you know, that's some of the stuff that you see. It's, you know, it's just really disheartening. Because you know what? You're putting us all at risk, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we see it, you know, pretty much every day. We park at a truck stop and someone next to us comes in and, you know, we happen to be there for the night, you know, with no freight or whatever. We got a little downtime and someone to pull next to me and he shuts her off, and in the morning he'll get up and take off and not even bother to walk around his truck, you know. Almost daily you can count on that, you know.
Sure.
What's 10 minutes?
Yep. Get out and kick the tires, make sure your lights are working. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you ain't gotta crawl under it, and you know, I get that, you know, right. But just to walk around and make sure, you know, hey, at least check your brakes. Make sure when you pull out, at least make sure, you know, your tires aren't flat. It's life or death. And I think it's easy to forget that, you know.
You become numb to it. You become, you know, it's your everyday routine and you just do it. But that's why it's good to make it that, to make what you're talking about right now, Johnson, a part of your routine. You know, this is what I do. You know, I wake up in the morning, I get out, I check my tires, I check the lights, I make sure things are good, I check the brakes, you know, do the things that I need to do to make sure that I'm safe when I go out on the road, because I'm going to be around other people. And it's just, you don't have that feeling anymore. You just don't, you know?
No. And that's just from seeing everything, it gives you an unsafe feeling out here, but you know, it's a good living. We still enjoy it. So we do what we have to do to kind of protect ourselves and just hope that other people are doing the same, you know. But
And, you know, really when it comes down to it, if we weren't enjoying it, we probably wouldn't be doing it, because this is not the kind of job that you're going to do and really despise it, you know, really really not like the job, really hate the job, you know. This is because you're not doing a 9-to-5 here, you know. This is the truck.
No.
you are not, you're not doing eight and skate. It just doesn't happen in this, you know.
No, you're not doing it for the fame and fortune, that's for sure.
No, sir. No, siree. That is the truth. You are not doing it for the fame and fortune. It's more like the poor and infamous. And with the with fuel prices going the way they are, it's going to be the really poor and infamous.
Right.
So.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's looking a lot of grim, especially for these smaller companies, you know.
And yeah.
I'm hoping things can change around, or, you know, change a little bit. Hopefully people can start voting a little better and all that good stuff. But, yeah,
I heard that. Have you ever seen a tornado?
I
thought I'd throw a little, you know, change a little bit of direction here and, you know, just, you know, continue talking about some of the weather patterns that you guys have seen. And I was just curious if you guys ever saw a tornado.
Yeah, we are the closest one. It was dark. It was hard to kind of tell, but I believe we were actually in the tornado.
Wow.
We had seen a couple others, you know, being out west, Oklahoma, stuff like that. Right. I'd seen a couple others that were far off and weren't a major concern. But yeah, actually, the wife was driving. I had just stopped, and I knew the bad weather was kind of coming. We were running into it. I was in. Just before Little Rock, Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
I stopped. She started driving, and she made it about 10 minutes into Little Rock, actually going over the Arkansas River there, right almost downtown Little Rock.
Okay.
And the truck started rocking, and it's rocking and rolling. And
trees flying by.
Wow.
Yeah, literally there was a sign. I don't know where the sign came from. There's no signs on a bridge. The sign blew across the front of the truck. It didn't hit us.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, where did this sign? I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? You know? And, thankfully, you know, no, there was no accidents, nothing like that. It wasn't, but, it was pretty scary to see, you know, for sure.
I mean, you know, you get caught in the wind, you know, just when it's, you know, you have a pretty heavy wind and rainstorm, you know, and you feel it pushing your truck around. I cannot imagine what it's like, you know, being around something like that going on. That has got to be pushing you around like crazy.
Yeah, truck's doing a little dance going down the road.
Yeah, it certainly is.
And let me tell you, it's harder when you're not driving and you don't feel in control. Someone else is driving, you know, the wife was driving and I got a grip on that seat over there pretty hard.
I bet.
And of course, you know, during what I can only say was a tornado went over us. There's a guy in the hammer lane passing us. I'm like, wow. What? Out of all the times to be passing someone on a bridge going across a river in a tornado and just sprays the whole windshield, she literally couldn't see, you know. And
oh, I bet.
I told her just slowly apply the brake, try to stay straight, and it was the longest 3 or 4 seconds of our lives, let me tell you.
I bet. Wow, man, I tell you what, when you lose the vision like that, because, you know, somebody has done something that just stupid like that, it's like, you know, you've got to keep your cool about yourself and, you know, not panic. That's the moment where panic wants to set in and you're like, I can't see a friggin' thing. And you just gotta, you know, you gotta catch yourself and say, no, just slow down. Just take your foot off the fuel. We're good.
I've had a lot of experience of not panicking over the last 5 years driving at night with people doing stupid stuff.
Amen. Amen to that. Yes.
Well, Brian's, I think we gotta get out of here. We got a pickup over to do here.
That's it.
Yeah, I got to go deal with a shipper over here. So,
all right. Well, hey, we really appreciate you guys coming on. I've been looking forward to this phone call for a long time. I've been talking with Jamie for a long time on, you know, instant message and all that. It's just been, and, you know, just kind of following you guys. And I really appreciate you guys coming on. And I'd like to have you back on again if we can at some point.
Yeah.
When we slow down a little bit, we would love to come. We got all kinds of stories. We got, you know, I got some paranormal stuff we dealt with over the road. And that obviously that's, you know, we kind of, you know, this evolved from your son's other podcast.
Right.
We wanted to kind of be on that one as well, just from the kind of paranormal stuff we've experienced. But yeah, we love what you guys do, and we love listening. And some of the stories are pretty great. And it's amazing what you can see out just traveling across the country. You know,
it is. It really is. It's a fantastic job, and don't ever forget that. It's a good job, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
keep telling yourself that.
I do. Every day, it's what gets me to work. Actually, what gets me to work is when the phone goes ding, as Shipper always says, on Thursday morning and the paycheck is in the bank. That's what keeps me coming back next week, you know?
That's it. Yes, sir. I've worked a lot harder for a lot less, let me tell you.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. I heard that.
But, yeah, we enjoy listening to you guys, and, hope you guys, hope this grows and continues to be something. And
we're going to give it our all.
Definitely.
We appreciate
maybe you
it.
Maybe you could be like Tony and retire and not have to drive anymore, right?
Oh, exit strategy.
Amen. From your lips to God's ears, brother.
To my retirement account.
Amen.
Hey, you guys are closer than us. We still got 20 to go, so.
I'll pray for you. But thank you so much. Go ahead.
I'll say that's if the robot trucks don't take over, you know?
Right.
So. Yeah. Well, if you hear Tony and the other happening tomorrow.
Right.
Well, I think they're a little farther away than that. But
yeah, I take it longer.
It's probably inevitable, but
it is.
You know.
It'll happen eventually, but not tomorrow.
I just want to get my 20 in first.
There you go. That's it, brother. That's it. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We really do appreciate it. And we'll stay in contact. You know, you guys can, text us or,
Shoot us an email. Drop
anytime.
A voicemail.
Yeah. Anytime. Yeah. We'd love to hear from you guys. So just stay in contact and be safe out there.
Yeah. You guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. And, if I ever get pulled over in Pennsylvania, I'll make sure to tell them, call the Bryans.
Yeah, there you go. You
tell them to get a hold of us. We'll be right there to take care of that for you.
Oh, amen, brother. We'll be on it.
If you believe that, I have a bridge in the next state you can, you might be interested in.
All right.
Again,
guys.
Thank you. We appreciate it. And, safe travels.
Yes. Take care of yourselves.
Have a good one.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the show. And Chip, if they enjoyed the show, what can they do?
They can share the show. Share the show with their friends, their enemies, anybody. Just as long as they share the show and get the word that we have put out there, out there. Yeah.
Amen, brother. Get the word out. While you're getting the word out, check out Hammer Lane Legends gear section. Go to hammerlanelegends.com and hit the gear section. Check it out and see if there's anything there you like. What else am I supposed to say? Until next week.
Keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.